Can you imagine how frustrated Mary Magdalene must have been to go to her friends, to the disciples, and to others and say, I've just seen Jesus. He's alive. I mean, how would they respond to that, having seen him be killed? Some of them, I suppose, would argue with her. Come on, get a grip. We know he's dead. Get over it. Others, I suppose, would assume that perhaps the stress and the grief had been too much, that Mary had finally snapped. We had to treat her with gentle, soft tones, and whatever you do, don't stir her up, you know. Oh, Mary, we're so glad you thought you saw Jesus, and I'm sure it was real to you, and we're happy for you, you know. And she would want to strangle him, you know. I mean, he's alive, you know. And as frustrated as she would have been, of course, she would have also been able to understand why it was they were responding like that, because she could not see Jesus either at first. She was talking to him and couldn't see him. John's Gospel says that in the early hours, she went down there to the tomb. We found out from the other Gospels she's taking spices down there to do religious things to the body and prepare it for a better kind of burial. And she gets down there and she looks in and it's empty. So she runs back, she gets Peter and John, they go down and check it out. Sure enough, it's empty. They go home and leave her outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher or master, probably fell at his feet. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And so she did. But at first, even though she was talking to him, she could not see him, not for who he was. Why? Didn't fit into the realm of her reality. It was outside her limited box of understanding of how reality works for a man that she had seen crucified, dead, and buried to now be alive and talking to her. And she's in good company with that. I mean, there's some of the most intelligent people in the world. Some of the most highly educated people in the world. Some of the most religious people in the world couldn't see Jesus. Not in that day, not in ours either. I mean, in our day, we have people just about every week this time of year, another guy wants to reinvent Jesus and dumb him down to their level or explain away all the mystery and make it so they can fully understand. And they do that, and they make a name for themselves, but they can't see the real Jesus. Jesus asked Mary, "Who is it that you are looking for?" And her answer implied that she was looking for the body of a dead Jesus, so she could do something for his body. Religious things, nice things. That was why she went. She was going to make it better, make herself feel better by doing these things. Who is it you're looking for? It's the question he asks us. Who are you looking for? Are you looking for a dead Jesus? Are you looking for the real Jesus? Are you looking for a Jesus you can completely understand? Are you looking for a Jesus who always does what you think is right and tells you what you want to hear? Are you looking for a Jesus who does not ever shake up your soul and challenge you to the roots of your existence? Are you looking for a Jesus who behaves himself according to what religious people think is nice? Follows all the rules, never gets out of the box? Are you looking for a Jesus who stays dead when they kill him? If you are, you won't find him. Not here, not anywhere. Because the real Jesus is the Son of God who came down to earth and lived as a human being, not a privileged lifestyle, but an impoverished lifestyle. And then he went to the cross in a disgraceful way, and then he got up. The real Jesus is not dead, he's risen. But she couldn't see it until he said, Mary, called her by name. And that's so typical of Jesus. You might think that, you know, the Son of God comes to earth and he's here to help us out. What was he going to do? Maybe he'd get a big fancy office building somewhere and let people come to the office and meet him and fill out the form so he deals with them all exactly in the same way. But that's not how Jesus does it. Jesus goes to each person individually, specifically, where they live, where they're struggling, and deals with them personally. He calls them, so to speak, by name. He told about the shepherd who would go off looking for one lost lamb because the others were doing okay. And Jesus comes to Mary personally where she is suffering in the midst of her grief and struggle. And he says, Mary. And he confronts her with the real Jesus and gives her an opportunity to cross the line to where she can see him. Wow. And he comes to you and me like that too. He comes to each of us individually, personally, according to where we live and how we're doing and what we struggle with and what's on our heart. And you might be asking, well, how's he going to come? Am I going to hear his voice? Maybe, I suppose, you could, but not many do. But really, I've heard hundreds and hundreds of people tell how he came for them, and I've never heard one that was the same as another one. They're all personal. And so really, it's kind of beside the point to ask, how is he going to do it? The real question is, how are we going to respond when he does? Are we going to respond like Mary? See, Mary had a choice. She could have hung desperately onto her understanding of reality and missed the real Jesus. She could have clung, for all she was worth, to the plans that she had made for that day. You know, I'm here to do religious things and you're not going to distract me, bub. She would have missed the real Jesus. But what she did was she put away her limited understanding. She put away her ideas of what she was supposed to do, and she fell at his feet, and she cried out, Master, Rabboni. That's a picture of how, if you want to see the real Jesus, one must respond. The Bible calls it by the word repent, which has got some bad press. I mean, you know, people think about repent in a very negative sort of a way, as though it means feeling all hangdog and sorry and guilty because you got caught. That's not what repent means. Repent means turn around, change your mind. It's like if you're driving your car somewhere and you're stuck on the side of the road, your car broke down, and you get out your tools and you flip up the hood and you do your best to try and fix it, and somebody comes along and says, hey, can I give you a ride to where you're trying to go? What you will answer depends on whether or not you think you can fix your car. You think you can fix it, you'll say, no, I got it. If you know you can't, then you'll repent. You'll put away what you're trying to do, abandon what that is, and get in and let him take you. That's what it means. And that's how you respond if you want to see the real Jesus. In life, our car's busted. No matter what kind of life you have, if you're honest with yourself, there are times when you realize there's something empty and missing inside. Am I right? And we're told that if you just have a better job, it'll fill up that empty place. Or if you just have a better marriage, it'll fill up that empty place, or more kids, or more fun, or maybe buy a better toy. Or more toys, and you'll fill up that, or get high or stoned or drunk or whatever, you know, do whatever it takes to make that empty place go away. And we try, we really do. We work at it hard, don't we? But it doesn't go away. No matter how successful we are, we can't make that go away. We cannot get that car really moving to where we really need to go. And Jesus pulls up alongside us and says, can I take you to where you need to go? And how we respond depends on whether or not we think we can fix it ourselves. Mary knew she couldn't. She put away her plans. She abandoned her limited understanding and she turned and she fell at his feet. Master. How about you? How about you? Well, where's he going to take us? Jesus said, I'm going to my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. You see, that empty place inside is there because we were always designed to be so close to God that His Spirit would live inside us and guide us and empower us and inform us and transform how we are and how we understand reality. That's how we're designed. But because we sin, we break the connection. We're empty inside, dead inside. Jesus said, let me take you home to God. Let me bring you home to where you can be a child of God, where He can live in you. And He's the only one that can take us there because He paid the penalty that must be paid for sin on the cross. And He's the only one that can get us there because He's the only one who has risen from the dead and has a life that He can give to us, His Holy Spirit. And so if we are willing to do so, we can let go of our limited understanding, our doubts and suspicions, and trust Him. We can put away the things that we try to do to fill up the empty place inside and turn to Him and surrender. Somebody asked me the other day, okay, I heard you say that, but how do you do it? It's pretty easy, really. It's simply a matter of praying. And I don't know, maybe this morning is when you're hearing Jesus call your name. Could be. And so what I'm going to do is give you a chance to pray that and let Him in. Let Him take over and fill you up from the inside and take away that empty place. Let me explain what we're going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer that simply says, Lord, I understand that I cannot fix my life because I can't stop sinning no matter how hard I try. And I can't seem to fill myself up with what's missing. I thank you for dying on a cross, for paying the penalty so that I can be allowed to come home and into close fellowship with God. My sins forgiven and cleansed. Thank you for giving me your life, your resurrected life, your Spirit. And if you'll pray with me as I do that, you can cross the line like Mary and see the real Jesus this morning. Of course, then you'll also be frustrated like her when you try to tell somebody else that He's alive, He's risen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge before you that no matter how successful the world looks at our life and says it is, no matter how wonderful a life we've lived, no matter how much fun we've had, we're still empty inside. And we yearn to be close to God. And we sense that our sins keep us away. We thank you for paying on the cross so that we might have the right to go boldly into the home of God and be adopted as His child. We thank you for cleansing our sin with your blood, filling us with your Spirit, and guiding us for the rest of your life. We cry out to you, Master. We cry out in your precious name. Amen.